Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode today. Today is going to be obviously Villa versus Man City, the up and coming game on Wednesday, the 21st of April, 8:15 kickoff. Obviously, we want to get back on the winning boat after the disappointing loss against Liverpool. So let's get straight into the episode. And Brad, what are we thinking?
Before I go straight into it, I'm just going to do the poll results. Obviously, we start and finish with them. So, the question was, after Trez doing his ACL, who was the biggest loss last season? Heaton being number one or Wesley being the main striker? And to be fair, it was closer than majority of the other ones have. So, 64% have gone Wesley. I do want to read out one comment behind it because I said I would keep an eye out for anything that's decent. And it's a guy called the Chill Villain. And he's put, as class as Heaton was, we were able to replace him to a degree. So I'm guessing, as you said, Pep Arena.
Yeah.
But without Wesley, we lacked a striker for such a long time, especially with Samatta not working out. So, yeah, it sounds like that people agreed with you. And I think, I agree with it. What they've been said. And as you said, yeah, we were able to replace Heaton to an extent. Obviously not with the same quality, but obviously with Wesley going missing with his injury, we didn't replace him, so I think that's why Wesley won.
Yeah, I think it was one of those questions, like most of the scenario is with all the poll that you do, there's no right or wrong answer. It don't surprise me it's that close, but I think that guy that obviously dropped that comment pretty much said the same as me. Reina was the replacement. Samatta had never lived up to being a forward to fill the void. Yeah. And that's what cost us.
Yeah, it did. Go train to the game now. The lineup. Any changes? Anything you would do? Wouldn't do?
Back five is obviously I'll stick with Man City. So, like Liverpool, you go defensive. So, I'll keep Nkambra in it. Jack obviously seems to be injured still. So, to me, it'll be an unchanged lineup. I don't know if that sounds boring or adventurous or whatever, but you've got to set up the shop for Man City like you would with Liverpool, the top teams. You've got to play on the counter. And unfortunately, playing the extra defensive midfielder is going to be the main thing that you'll do. So, yeah, I'll play Nkamba. I've said in many podcasts that I quite like Nkamba and he does a job. Maybe he won't play 38 games a season, but he'll come in maybe one every three games to do a job in a game where he needs to be the extra man at the back. So, yeah, I think I'll stick with the same. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the wing. We only have two fit wingers. So, obviously, Traore and Alghazi being the only two fit ones. So, I'm guessing that... Is it Boydance, is it? He'll be on the bench as a winger. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter talk nonsense about playing people out of position or get Louis Barry and put him on the wing. He'll do better than Alghazi. And yeah, I was like, come on. Let's calm down a bit. If we're going to bring youth up, let's bring them for the position that they needed to be playing. Do you know what I mean? And that winger, Boydance, that we've spoken about many times, if he's as good as has been touted, I mean, obviously we had top clubs after him, on the bench, give us an option. The opposition are not going to know what he's going to bring to the table. So it's a perfect chance for him. So, yeah. Unchanged team, but just slightly concerned about the lack of depth in attacking. But Man City aren't exactly in a grace of form at the moment either, so anything can happen?
I've been spouting the 5-4-1 for a few weeks, so I'm going to stick with that. I still think we need to change up. So for me, I'd go Martinez, Cash, Konsa, Engels in the middle of the front, you know, the back between Konsa and Mings. So next to Engels would be Mings and Target. Nakamba holding, Louis, Sanson in the middle, and then McGinby on Watkins. Obviously, I know it's never going to happen, but I just want to change it up a little bit. Especially playing Man City, you know, if we can get a draw out of the game, I'd take that now and not play the fixture. But the one thing that I will say, which I agree with you with squad depth, which I spoke about on the Liverpool review, is five of our subs were defenders and a goalkeeper. That's far too many. We don't need that many. I don't know what Crisis is expecting. So like you said, we need to get the kids on, in my opinion. We're in that part of the table where we're not going to go down, but we're not going to make Europe or anything like that. So we might as well get the kids on the bench and start blooding them for next season. So I definitely have Bidens on the bench. I'd probably have Barry on there as an extra option with Davis. And I ain't going to be able to pronounce the guy's name, but Chuck, as I'm going to call him, should be on the bench as well. The three guys that I'm, you know, tearing up in the under-23s, you know, there's no reason why they can't be given bench. I'm not saying they're going to come on and, you know, have 45, 50 minutes to play. But, you know, just to get that experience sitting on the bench on games like this, you know, sitting, you know, but, you know, watching De Bruyne play in person and argue getting minutes against him, people like that, just adds. And, you know, imagine having Lou Barry come on and, you know, playing against defenders like Stones and Diaz, who's having a brilliant season, getting that experience. No, I was expecting him to do, you know, much, you know, not being disrespectful, but, you know, probably the best centre-half partnership in the league. But just get them blooded, get them ready for next season, because they're not, you know, we might as well, because we're not going to push on to do anything. You know, not saying it's been a bad season, but we're just in that funny position in the league. Okay, yeah, we've got two games in hand, but let's be realistic. You know, we're not going to make up six.
No, we ain't going to make top six, and it's unfortunate that we're not. We're not even going to make top eight, unfortunately. How this season's fizzing out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's down to Jack being injured, obviously, or factors like sort of maybe the sort of high intense, high press our team's not used to has probably tied us out. And it's fine. You sort of live and learn, but I wouldn't change the season for anything. It's been really good to see how we've played, some really good results, Liverpool, Arsenal. You know, there's things that are never going to happen again. And like you said, if we do it properly and not silly, I wouldn't mind seeing, like you said, a few more kids on the bench. Drop your Almos and your Taylors and get your Kelsers on and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're going to do a little bit better than them. And there's only, what, 7-6 games left for the season?
Yeah.
Let's see it out. Stop in the top 10. It'll probably, you know, I know that I think we're 11th at the moment, but stop in that sort of range and we'll be fine. But yeah, I just don't want to like the team to give up on this season. So I still expect certain points from certain games going forward. Obviously, we've got the Baggies soon. I fully expect the team to go out 110% to win that. West Brom have a lot to fight for. We don't as much. So I don't want complacency to creep in. The only plus side about playing Man City at the moment is, I believe, De Bruyne's possibly going to be injured. I think he limped off in the semi-final, did he, at the weekend?
I think he did. I think he did. I say we are recording quite early into the start of the week. So, yeah, I haven't heard anything, but if he's out, then obviously losing De Bruyne is a massive miss for them and a big positive for us. So that would be sensational. If you know, we could have one player out of that side, then obviously I'd probably be picking De Bruyne.
Yeah, it's like our version of Jack being out. Do you know what I mean? It's like the heart of the team gets taken out. Don't get me wrong, Man City have got the players that they can do to replace him, but you don't replace De Bruyne a lot. You don't replace Jack. It's always going to have that bit of... They're going to have that less bit of sort of quality that probably they needed. So that's always a plus. But it'll be interesting to see how Dean Smith just go for it. Because it's interesting that you're saying about the three at the back. Because I was thinking that when I realised, oh, we've got two fit wingers. And I thought to myself, well, if they do change three at the back and two wing backs, then that wouldn't be the end of the world. But then you're putting your trust into House or Angles to be another centre back. So it'll be interesting to see what gets done. But if Angles does play and they have that three at the back, I'll give him 100% support. He's got to be doing something right in training to be on the bench. Do you know what I mean? So it is interesting that you said having three at the back again, because if any game you're going to do it, in my opinion, it would be this game. I'm not going to say that this game's a free game, but if we lose this game, I don't think many Villa fans are going to moan, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's my reason behind the back five, is because I said it last in the Liverpool review that our wing backs, our full backs are offering more going forward than our wingers. That's why I'd like to see him be pushed more into a wing back role, just because literally they're offering more than Traore, El Ghazi, and Trezeguet have been a few games. I know Trezeguet did save us against Fulham, but you know, it is what it is with that. But yeah, with Engels making the bench, it makes me think that he must be ready, because even though you might say, oh, you know, he might not be match fit, if you're not match fit, you don't make the match day squad. So he must be fit enough to play. So if we're going to do the back three centre-halves, then I think this is a game to do it. I think we need to change up, because we kind of, you can pretty much guarantee where our starting 11 is going to be week in, week out, if Jack's fit or Jack's not fit. Probably apart from the El Ghazi Trezeguet switch, you can pretty much pick it, especially with Barkley being out of form. So we need to change up, because we're too predictable. We can predict it just being, you know, fans. Someone like a Pep or a Klopp, or you know, he's going to pick it out every day of the week. You know what I mean? He's going to know. So to do something different kind of puts their game plan at the window. And my other reason, obviously, is it's Man City. They've got world-class players to replace world-class players. So to go a bit tighter at the back with three centre-halves makes a bit more sense. Not saying there's anything wrong with our current back four at Martinez, but just tightening up that ship a bit more would be great. And I know I've seen a few people say you don't want to mess up the Mings and Konsa partnership, which is fine, I understand that. But at the same time, we're still conceding goals. I'm not saying them terrible, but we're conceding. And at the same, and also on the other foot is Engels doesn't really have to be part of that, because he can sit a bit deeper or a bit more forward. So you've still got the Konsa Mings partnership. It's just there's going to be somebody there protecting in front or behind them. You know, especially when Mings makes the odd mistake, especially when he comes back after international duty, where he does these silly back passes on things that he's been caught out at Fulham. And he did against Liverpool. If he's angle sitting a bit deeper, that gets cut out. That doesn't happen. So I'm not trying to, you know, cover up and put an insurance policy in for Mings. It's just kind of like a little insurance policy for our conceding goals to try and keep that away. Because obviously, if we concede against Man City, especially with the way they are, I know you said they're not having the best of form, especially losing on the in the semi-final. You know, it's still a ridiculous squad who can easily put 3-4 past anybody in the world. So, how do you expect the game to go? I know it's a bit of a silly question, but what do you think we should or shouldn't do or be wary of?
I think it'll be very like Liverpool. It's going to be pure counter. We're going to sit and sort of soak in all the pressure. Hopefully nothing gets through, and then we'll try and counter. The depth of our squad probably isn't helping with our gameplay at the moment, but we're using what we've got, and unfortunately against Man City, that's what we're going to be doing. So in my opinion, it'll be counter football. Mings will be possibly on scraps again. Watkins will be on scraps again. So it's going to be a scrappy game for us. If De Bruyne don't play, Man City won't be as smooth as they normally are, but like you said, their centre-backs, obviously one of the best two that are in the league at the moment. They started off the season horrendous, and then suddenly they've got a really good partnership. I have faith in our back five, though, but you cannot say just because they've got De Bruyne that they won't score. But what, like what you said as well, I'll be happy with a draw now to stop losing. I don't want to be losing two or three games in a row, because then that sort of affects the players more going forward. If we get a draw out of today, we could take a lot of confidence. I mean, a draw when we play against them, I'd take a lot of confidence out of it. So I think we'll beat up the Liverpool game. Very cagey. Not many chances for either side, I don't think. Man City, like they always do, they have a lot of possession play. So they'll be looking in the 60 to 65% possession, I'm going to guess. But we'll be happy to sort of just get them on the counter. Now we've got the two fullbacks that we like, with Target and Cash. They did very well against Liverpool, and it nearly worked, because obviously we nearly got a point out of it. We could have won it. So the game isn't, oh, we're going to lose. You never know, stuff could happen. But it all depends on what Man City turns up, because they lost against Leeds and they lost against Chelsea at the weekend. So they are beatable. So, yeah, anything can happen. We just need to make sure that whatever chances we get, we sort of actually capitalise and actually take them.
Yeah, like you said, you've pretty much hit it on the head that them possession-based team, we all know what Pep's capable of. And, you know, when you've got world-class players backing up, world-class players, as I said, you know, their bench arguably makes our 11. You know you're going to have a fight on your hands. But, you know, if we defend well and don't make stupid mistakes, there's always that chance. And Leeds showed that. And as you said, Chelsea the weekend, but obviously I want to point more at Leeds, because they're obviously just a place above us. They showed that Man City are beatable. And, you know, if you get it right, then they're to be beat. They are, you know, a massive, massive possession-based team, like every Pep team. You know, that's why he's loved amongst football fans, you know, especially neutral ones, me being one of them. He's superb at what he does. But, like I said, Leeds beat them, so there's no reason we can't beat them. We've just got to be, just do the basics right, and then just hit them on the counter, as you said, because they do bring a lot of men forward, because they like to, you know, get the ball moving as quickly as possible, which obviously can cause mistakes, and that's where Leeds hit them. So, you know, they do make mistakes, and if we can hit them quickly, you know, for me, Watkins is as clinical as most strikers in the league, and if he gets that opportunity, he will better the chances. So I do think he's going to live on scraps, as you said. He lives on scraps pretty much most games, especially when Jack's not playing. But against a team like Man City, it's inevitable that's going to be the same. But I don't know. I think you give him one chance in that box to shoot. You know, he's going to have to be a good save, or it's going in. So, you know, you can't really count a save. But as you said, if I got given the chance for a draw now, I'd take it all day long. Before we go into the scoreline, obviously there's the news over the weekend about the European Super League. So obviously it would be a shame not to at least bring it up a little bit, especially playing Man City, who signed up. What's your thoughts on the old ESL? What do you think?
Obviously, we're recording this at, what, 9:30 on Sunday night. So, literally, the news only just came out. So, we're just going off what the news have reported. So, we don't know the full story yet. But I just think it's awful, because it's all money. And let's be honest, the decision behind it is purely because the clubs will make so much money, and the so-called elite teams. And it was just... The only thing good to come out of this is to see people like PSG, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund coming out and saying, yeah, we were asked to do it and we didn't. But then you come to the Premier League and six of our clubs are just like, yeah. I want to be all over this. Do you know what I mean? It just makes us look like we don't care about football fans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't put English football in a good light at all. Because we all know that German football is all about fans, because they've got a very good, relationship with fans. And yeah, it just, this is just showing how greedy our clubs are. And it is good to see other clubs not standing up to this league, but say, no, we don't want any part of this. But it's just a shame that six of our clubs are like, yeah, I want to be part of it. I don't think they should leave. As much as I don't like half of the teams, it's the best league in the world. It's got the best teams, in my opinion. It's not got all the best players, but it's got a variation of the best players. And the history that the competition's got, it's just really, I don't know, I think I'm just more angry that some people actually think this is a good idea, but it's literally all about money. Everything I've read is literally all about money. I don't think there's, because I've even read that you can't get relegated from this league as well. You're just fighting for the top spot and that's it. Like, you don't get relegated or anything. So I'm like, well, what's the point? But I'm glad that like the FA and FIFA and stuff are like thinking of ideas like, if you go to this league, you can't do Champions League, you can't do any European things. There's even talk about if you play for one of these teams, you can't play for your country. This, you know, it's all, isn't all confirmed, but these are what the rumours are and stuff. And I really hope people go as far as that and they ban teams and players for doing that, because it's such a bad thing. And I just don't understand, I just don't understand how they think this is a good idea. Like, if they wanted to make their own Super Champions League, that's not a problem. But this is an actual domestic league that they're doing. It's a different story. But yeah, there's pros and cons. Mm. If they do it, there's more chance of Villa finishing higher. And with the money we've got, you know, we could become a top four team, because obviously everyone's going. So we could fight your Evertons and your teams like that at the top of the league. But the downside is to it, would we lose money as a league because all the money's in this other league? So there's just so many, and there's more unanswered questions than there are questions. So it'd be good to see when more statements are coming out from certain people, when it all just gets sort of dealt with. But yeah, I just feel a bit angry that they did all this and they think it's a good idea. But it just looks to me that it's just foreign owners, like American owners, just trying to make money.
Yeah, as you said, the German teams have said no, which I think the rule in Germany is 51% has to be owned by the fans. I'm sure that's the ruling, so which shows you kind of what their fans think of it. I think the PSG owners as well, which I was quite surprised, but I'm sure they've invested in the Champions League for sponsorships and other things, which kind of ties in, because obviously their owners love spending a bit of money, let's be fair. But yeah, it kind of shows you where the Premier League, you mean, it's not like Premier League clubs are struggling for money. Every single one has got billionaire owners, at least 100, multi-millionaire owners. But teams like Spurs, how are they, maybe? You know what I mean? All they are is a big team in London. That's it. There's no trophies behind it. But if they want to go, that they, go, in my opinion. It just kind of, because after the project Big Picture and we got voted down, they've kind of done it sly again. And it's wrong. And I hope that they get, if it doesn't come to fruition and it ends up being a non-starter, just because they put the name on the list to go ahead and do it, kind of says that they want to be part of the Premier League. So hopefully the Premier League give them that and then relegate them, just like, I don't like Gary Neville, for the best of times, but he did say just relegate them and get rid of them, and I'll be all for that. Could be quite interesting to see what happens, but I don't think what will happen, in my opinion, is they'll probably get banned from European football for so many years or something. I think that's what will happen. You want to be a European league, well, you don't know what, you're having no Europe. But like you said, the one that stood out for me was the international, as you said, and it's not the players' fault. They just play for whoever they play for, the crest. And if someone said, right, okay, then you can't play international if you're going to play for this European Super League. It's not FIFA, you know, governed by them, so you can't play for FIFA World Cups, FA Cup, League Cup and all this, right? Do you, or do fans think that because a player plays for Man United has got more allegiance to them than their international? And I've said this to someone that I know, the Man United fan. If that happened, and then they say, okay, then Bruno, you can't play for Portugal no more. Has he got more loyalties at Man United than he has for the Portugal national team? Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But Ruben Dias is the same, or Harry Kane, because Harry Kane's not a Spurs fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, people compare him to Jack for his loyalty, but he's an Arsenal fan, I believe. So would he have more loyalty for Spurs than he would for the England national team? And it's kind of like a weird kind of line in the sand. Where does it stand? Because if that is the case, and they're not going to be able to play for their countries, are these players allowed to walk away? Are they to say, well, look, I don't want to be part of this European Super League. I don't want to lose my chance to play for Portugal, Brazil, England, Argentina, whoever. I'd rather play for my international than, you know, in this European Super League. So are those players allowed to leave on freeze? You know, is there a chance we'll see De Bruyne teaming up with Jack Villa because he doesn't want to play for Man City, but he wants to play for Belgium more? Do you mean, like, I don't understand. Like, obviously, like you said, we're recording on Sunday. But there's so many, like, things to do that I'm going to bring in if it goes ahead. But it all boils down to, as you said, it's money. And it's like, them not getting enough of it. These top six teams, especially United and Liverpool, they pretty much have every game on Sky, even before COVID. And it was, you know, you had fans on the ground. How much money they got from TV and sponsors and all this. Do these sponsors want to start, you know, sport, you know, having them on the shirts in this European Super League, where arguably you're going to get less, I wouldn't say, well, I'd say viewing to an extent, because if you look at the Champions League figures for BT, what they pull in compared to the Premier League on Sky, it's no comparison. So arguably their product will be less watched, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I'm unsure, but if they want to go ahead, then go for it. But when it fails, I just hope that the FIFA and everyone else remembers what these Liverpool, United, Man Cities have done and tell them to start from the very bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah, it's just more questions than answers, isn't it, at the moment? It's so early and it's... I mean, it's not even been confirmed yet. I think as we record, we're still waiting for the statement from the people that do it. Like the chairman, isn't he? Is it the Liverpool owner or the United owner that's high in the decisions?
So. I'm sure Perslow is as well, because I'm sure Perslow was part of the FFP creation, I believe. So he must be quite high up or highly regarded at least. So I'm expecting to him have a say at some point about this, because he did have a big say on Project Big Picture, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, I can just see this annoying me now for the next, because it's this is all what people are going to be talking about for the next 3 or 4 days, and it's just going to bore me. Because I want to talk about football, I want to talk about Villa. We've got Champions League going on at the moment.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff going on. You got like Champions Leagues in the final sort of stages. You've got the Europa League in the final stages. The Premier League sort of wrapping up. We're having semi-finals for the FA Cup and stuff. So like all these, like it's getting to the exciting part of the season. Sheffield United just got relegated. Norwich just got promoted. So things are starting to like get to like the business part now, isn't it? And that's what I want to be talking about, not about some stupid league that I'll be annoyed if it does happen. But I did see one comment on Twitter actually, and isn't from anyone important. It's not from anyone important. It weren't from anyone official. It was just a random person that was commenting saying, well, if they want their own league, they have to have their own transfer thing, so they can only transfer players from that league.
Yeah, because that's what my other point was going to be, is how does that work if, for instance, because it's a different league and it's not FIFA governed, so which means it's not a FIFA transfer window. Do you get what I mean? So surely those players cannot come in and out of our league, you know, because there is obviously there's other leagues that are not FIFA run, but you never hear of them. You never see a player coming from, you know, non-official FIFA leagues coming into our league. I mean, I might be completely wrong, but I can't think of any like that, because, like I say, Catalonia, yeah, they have their own national team, but it's not FIFA recognised. And like Pep Guardiola paid for them. You don't see it because it's not FIFA recognised. So yeah, that's a good point. But what I saw as well on Twitter, which kind of made me think, they do mention Villa, but they mention like the likes of Villa, Everton, Leicester, West Ham have all started catching up the likes of Arsenal, Spurs, and Chelsea's and that, and then all of a sudden, because they're getting caught up, it's quite funny how all of a sudden they want to jump ship because these other four or five teams are starting to catch them up. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, to be fair, United started off bad, and as much as I hate to say, United are finishing the season off quite strong. Going back to actually, that might be in our favour, because Man City are starting to look over their shoulder now because Man United keep winning. So that'll be another big good thing for us on Wednesday, that they're sort of not panicking, but they'll be like, oh, you know, they're only a few games behind us now. So, but then you've got Arsenal that are horrific, like absolutely horrific, like they're a train wreck, but yet they're in this thing. Spurs having a poor season, but suddenly they're in the elite six. And you think to yourself, okay, how many times has Arsenal won the Champions League? Zero. How many times has Spurs won the Champions League? Zero. Okay, it's fine. So they're not. So I'm not saying that Villa or Notts Forest should be in this league, but this league isn't down to merit. It's not down to history. It's not down to how many games they've won. It's literally not down to anything bar these owners want to make the most money. So they've came together over dinner and said, yeah, let's do our own league. That's pretty much what it says to me, because everything that you get in football now is down to merit, is what you win, where you finish. Like Arsenal, they'll finish, say, 10th or 9th or 11th. I think that's where they'll finish. So they can't merit going into the Super League if they finish there, because they've not earned it. It should be the top four teams, because this season they are the elite four. Be it, as much as I don't like to say it, if West Ham finish in the top four, they're an elite team for this season, because they've earned their stripes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So this, like, how you chose to go in there isn't by merit. Well, especially with the Premier League. Obviously, the Spanish and the Italian, they've picked the big teams. So, yeah. But the English, I think, yeah, it's just, it just puts the Premiership teams, just makes us look stupid, and we've got no loyalty to the game. And, yeah. But again, we never know. It all could just come to a stumbling block like it did with that other one that they tried a few months ago. It could be as simple as FIFA just saying no, and then that gets binned off. Do you know what I mean? We don't know that much info to sort of really have a really good insight over it yet.
As you said, us and Forest have more combined Champions League trophies than Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, Atletico Madrid, Man City and Juventus combined. But I'm not jealous, because I pretty much haven't seen a single fan anywhere on social media wanting this league from any of our six Premier League clubs that want to do it. So I'm not blaming the fans, because obviously they don't want it. You know, that they so bought from a club standpoint, we should be there because of those. You know, there's not many clubs in the Premier League more historically, trophy-wise, there isn't many, but I wouldn't want it, and I'd be gutted just as much as those at their owners if our owners decided to do that as well. The old ESL little combo I thought would just throw me in.
I think when we know more of it, we could do an episode possibly of it, but just because we know so little, it's hard to really get into it. Do you know what I mean? It's all us just speculating, and we're just going off bite-sized bits that we've heard on Twitter and stuff.
Hopefully we can have a little giggle about it on the Man City review and say, well, that was a load of rubbish, you know, talking about it. But if they do come to fruition, it does happen, then we'll do a special podcast just on the ESL. But for now, Back to the Man City preview. What is your scoreline prediction?
I don't know if this is what I want or what I think will happen, but a 1-1, I'll be happy with.
Oh, that's interesting, because that's what I went for. I went for a 1-1, and I think Watkins is going to score again. Just as I said, he's a patch striker, so I think he's going to score again.
And Watkins is, he's scored 2-2, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he did. Fulham and Liverpool.
Yeah. He scored against Fulham. Yeah, so, yeah. He's a striker that feeds off confidence and goals. So, yeah, it'll be good to get a clean sheet, though, because we need this clean sheet to equal Friedel's thing. We've not done it yet. So, it'll be good to get
a clean sheet as well. Yeah, it'll be shame to go the next, what, 5-6 games and not get a clean sheet, just to get how close he's been to getting, you know, Bradford. Do you know what I mean? For that long period and not get one, it'll be gutting. Before we go, a poll question this week. I've got a stat to go with it to see if it changes your mind. To be fair, I've been aiming for this question for the last 2-3 weeks, but obviously things have been popping up, like Trezeguet's ACL and everything else. So, so Gilbert, does he deserve a second chance next season? If not, is it because you want to save money, upgrade, you know, like Kelsa, or find somebody else? And the reason I'm asking the question about Gilbert is because I saw a stat based on Gilbert. I thought it was quite interesting. Top rating re-signings in Europe, leagues, Gilbert's second behind Lingard. I can't say I'm watching him week in, week out, but only Lingard is having, since, you know, every January signing that's been made across Europe since January, he's ranked second behind Lingard. So I don't know if that makes you change your mind on what you're going to say, but yeah. What do you think?
I am surprised he's rated that much as a signing, but I'm not surprised in a way, because we all know that he's got it. I would bring him back next season. It was that hard for Kessler. It probably is a bit harsh on Kessler, but our luck with injuries, I'm sure Kessler will get a chance, or Kessler can be loaned out if we bring Gilbert back, and Kessler can gain some experience if we bring him. But no, I would bring Gilbert back, and I would say to him, you're second choice right back, but when you get called upon, you need to prove that you can push Cash off his spot. So, yeah, I would bring him back.
I'm going to go no. Surprise, surprise, I've gone the other way. reason being is because, right, just because he's out on loan and he's smashing it in France, I believe he's gone back to France, doesn't mean he's good enough for the Premier League. And as much as I liked him, and when we loaned him out and we brought Cash in, I was like, oh, why don't we just keep Gilbert? I've seen the light and I've seen how much better fullbacks can be. Nothing wrong with Gilbert. He's just a bit basic, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? He's not the best going forward. He's okay at defending. Yeah, he's good at defending. He's going to be harsh saying he's okay. He's decent defending, but a lot of our goal-scoring opportunities and goals have come from our fullbacks. Gilbert's not going to offer that for me. He's riding high at the minute, which is good, especially because, like I said, I don't want him to come back. Means that we can get more money for him, you know, and it's very unlike Villa to get a decent fee for anybody these days. We have the odd one, like Benteke, and I'd say Milner, but Ireland come part of that deal. So, so you see my point, like, we don't really get much good business. And Hourihan's kind of the same, where he's out on loan smashing it, so we should be able to get more money than we would have done if we went out and sold him in January. So for me, I would let him go. He seems more comfortable in France. Smith doesn't fancy playing him by the looks of it, especially when he weren't even making bench behind Elmo before his loan. So I'd let him go and I'd just bring Kelsa in and start blooding him. And like I say, from the odd clips I've seen of him, he does go forward, he does run, he does kind of looks like Cash in that sense. So yeah, I'd rather sell him, get an extra bit of money, and then put that money elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, either of those scenarios for me next season is fine. But yeah, I would give Gilbert another go. But if we were to sell him, that's not me saying I want to sell him. I'm just saying if we were to sell him, we bought him for 2.5, I think it was. We're looking for 5 or 6 mil, I would say, to sell him. So we definitely would make a profit. But it's a shame if he does go, because in our relegation battle season, he did put so much effort in towards the end. He was one of the players that impressed me. But either of those scenarios, I'll be happy with. Kessler to come through as a player from the ranks, you know, it's like a fairy tale, isn't it? And so, yeah, it'll be good for him. But I just think Gilbert's got something and he can offer. But it'll be interesting to see what everyone has to say about that one, actually. Again, that might be quite close as well.
I think it's going to be quite close, because there's a lot of... It's a bit like Hourihan, where he's got kind of like... I wouldn't say he's Marmite, but there's... He seems to be quite highly liked at Villa, especially by the fans, that is. So, you know, it's kind of a weird one where you look back and you're like, yeah, they played really well, but then you get Cash in, and then, for me, Cash is levels above him. But then there's still people who really like Gilbert. Not they're saying that they want Gilbert in front of Cash. I haven't seen anybody say that. But being back up to him, quite interesting, because, yeah, especially like everyone loves one of their own coming through. So it'd be quite interesting to see, you know, if people say no because they want Kells Thrall, maybe there's a right back out there that we want to come in to be our number two, especially with Elmo going. But for me, I don't really like having more than two full backs in each position. It doesn't make sense for me. So, so quite interested to see what people say on that. But the question has just gone live. I've just sent it out as I've been talking to you. So it is out there now. So if you do listen to this, you can always go on Twitter and make your vote.
Oh, awesome. Well, we're going to leave it there. We've probably talked more about this new European league that we probably won't hear the end of. I don't think we'll be the only podcast that will talk about this either. I think you'll hear a lot of chitter-chatter and stuff about this European league. But we won't let it take over our podcast, though. I think we've got it out of our system now. We'll try not to let it take over our next few. But thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for helping us reach 1,000 listens on our podcast. Me and Brad are quite new to this. And we've only been doing it for a little while. And yeah, we're really sort of happy that you know, 1,000 people or 1,000 listens. So we must be talking, I wouldn't say sense, but we talk something that people want to listen to. It's always good to listen to fans that don't take themselves seriously and don't say stuff because that's what people want to hear. It's just more what me and Brad think, be it bad, be it good. So you can tell when we're annoyed after a loss. And yeah, and I think sometimes people just want to hear a bit of home truths than sometimes just how good that we were. And unfortunately, we lost. If someone plays bad, we'll say you play bad. But yeah, thank you very much though for listening. We do appreciate it. Obviously, we've got Man City on Wednesday. Then we've got Baggies the weekend as well. So the review for Man City probably Thursday latest, and then we'll need to get a preview in for the Baggies game. So just keep a lookout on iTunes or Google or Spotify. There will be quite a few podcasts next week because obviously we've got a few games, so hopefully you can tune in. But thank you very much for your time, and hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Up the Villa. See you again.